the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, joined by Damian Collado. Hey, Damian.
Good morning, Miss Gabby. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. Okay, you know how I love summer.
Yes. Oh,
I'm
girl.
Excited for the change of temperature.
That's why we were born in October. We
yes,
like the
we
fall.
Were.
That's right.
Yes, the fall's the best.
Yeah, I
other
agree
than summer.
You.
They're tied, but I love it.
Well, summers are good, sure. Mm-hmm. But nothing like the fall crisp weather. I just look forward to it every year. And yes. We're going to get the morning started off with our prayer to St. Matthew this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O glorious St. Matthew, in your Gospel you portrayed Jesus as the longed-for Messiah who fulfilled the prophets of the Old Covenant and as the lawgiver who founded the Church of the New Covenant. Obtain for us the grace to see Jesus living in his Church and to follow his teachings in our lives on earth so that we may live forever with him in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Matthew, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have some updated Hurricane Ida relief and recovery efforts, some information for you. So stay tuned for that and ways that you can help those who need it the most. So that's just going to be coming up in a few minutes. We have Richard Meek. He is the editor of the Catholic Commentator, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He's going to give us an inside peek of what you'll find in this week's Catholic Commentator issue. So it's going to be a really good one. I actually always get a sneak peek of the stories before mm-hmm. It actually goes to publication. So I'm excited to talk to Richard. It's going to be a good one. I'm excited, Damian, about this next guest, Steve Weidenkopf. He is going to be talking about his book called Nine Times the Church Was in Turmoil and Came Out Stronger Than Ever Before. So
it's
that's going to be
timely,
a great
I can tell you that.
Yes, it is. So we're going to be talking to Steve later on in today's show. And Dr. Lisa Sorensi with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, she joins us once again. She is the Program Director of Counseling Solutions, and she's going to be talking about mental health during Ida for people Ooh. Of all ages, children, young adults, seasoned adults, I like to call them. So yeah, we're going to be talking about that. There's resources that she is giving out. So you're not alone. We're going to be talking to Dr.
You're not kidding.
Sorensi.
COVID could be tied in with that too.
We've talked to her about COVID too, and I think this is so relevant as well. So I'm excited to get those resources.
Yeah, I'm with you. So weather-wise, as we were mentioning, it is going to be a beauty coming up. Yeah. Going to be nice today even with a mixture of some clouds with the highs close to 89, 90 degrees. But look for the lows tonight at around 66 degrees. The cool front is coming, folks, and this is a cool one. You may get a stray shower this afternoon, but after the front moves through, you can expect beautiful days for at least the next 4, 5, 6 days with the highs in the upper 70s and the lows in the mid-50s. That's right. I said mid-50s.
Oh, my goodness. The,
New Orleans and Bay St. Louis, 77 is the current temperature. A little fog along the coastline in Bay St. Louis. Home of Thibodeau, it's 76, Baton Rouge, 74, and as I said, it's going to be a nice day, but more beautiful days to come, and boy, do we need them after all this.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, tomorrow is the official day of fall, right?
Is
so
it?
You guys
well,
can't
good.
Make fun of me anymore because I've already had my pumpkin stuff out for about 21 days. So
that's right. Today's the 21st already.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Time just flies by. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. good morning and a blessed feast of St. Matthew the Apostle. Our gospel this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
It is fitting that on his feast day, we reflect on Matthew's dramatic transformation from a tax collector to an apostle. Who can plumb the mystery of why the grace of Jesus fell on Matthew, or why, for that matter, on us? We know that our salvation begins when Jesus turns his compassionate eye on us, even though Jesus sometimes is found deep in the mystery of sin, and we are wholly preoccupied with worldly concerns. Isn't it true that we often cling to the petty lives we have constructed for ourselves? Our ignorance of what truly matters easily leads us into a routine that is addicted to ambition and selfishness. Then Jesus' glance descends upon our busy but empty life like a laser that cuts away the deceptive habits that suck away our vitality like so many leeches. Nothing is ever the same again. Matthew was both rich and well-connected with Rome. However, his association with the hated Roman taxes gave him no social, political, or religious status within the Jewish community. He was viewed as a shady character who lived on the fringes of society. Perhaps Matthew had adopted the cynical attitude that settled for personal sin as the meaning of his life, even at the expense of reputation, social standing, and the esteem of his neighbors. He was seen as a man who preferred worldly to spiritual gain, a man who also worked for the pagan occupying power. Note well, Jesus did not select his apostles from the makers and shakers of Jewish or Roman society. St. Paul reminds us, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no flesh might boast in the presence of God. Jesus pierced Matthew's heart with the words, "Follow me," which asked, "Be my intimate companion." Now, with a heart aflame, Matthew followed Jesus. Eventually, this hated tax collector, who was desperately in need of a physician, would himself become a physician of souls. Everything changes for the better when we follow Jesus. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Sagers, Father Chris Decker, for that insight and gospel. So glad you could join us at Wake Up on Tuesday morning, September 21st already. It is 7:11 and time to give you some updates on the recovery and relief of Hurricane Ida. And Gabby, you've got an important one to share with us.
Yeah, this is the Hurricane Ida home cleanup. You can go to crisiscleanup.org. That's crisiscleanup.org. This is if you need assistance with damage from Hurricane Ida. You can call 844-965-1386 for help. It says we will connect you with volunteers from local relief organizations, community groups, and faith communities who can assist you with fallen trees, putting up tarps, mold mitigation, drywall, flooring, and appliance removal. All services are absolutely free, but not guaranteed, so make sure you call this number before Friday, October 1st, 2021. So that number again is 844-965-1386. Or you can go to crisiscleanup.org. So that's a really important one, I think.
Yes.
We could always use some help during this time.
Always. And that's the type of help you need. Because once you get to your home, you're going like, where do I begin? And right. You got to get started with the cleanup. Well, some things people also need is butane gas, right, to cook, because a lot of people still don't have power. O'Neill Gas will be filling butane bottles at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Chauvin. It's going to be, here's the location, 5232 Louisiana Highway 56. That's 5232 Highway 56 in Chauvin. The O'Neill Gas filling butane bottles, three is your limit. So you got a max of three butane bottles to bring. Today, it's from 2 to 6. Tomorrow, 9 to 2. Then Thursday, 2 to 6. Friday, 9 to 2. You get the pattern? Okay, so that's kind of what they're doing. Afternoons today from 2 to 6. Tomorrow in the mornings, basically, from 9 to 2. And then they'll continue to rotate that through the rest of the week. So fill those bottles up while you can.
Yeah, so we'll give you those updated dates and times as we go throughout the week.
Sure.
But also, Catholic Charities Baton Rouge Ida Relief. If you need help, you can go to CatholicCharitiesBR.org or you can call 800-560-0200. So, of course, if you need any of this information, message us on Facebook. You can call our office and we'll make sure that we get this right to you. But, Damien, I know we have about a minute left, but there's something that the Diocese of Baton Rouge and actually Catholic Charities and the Archdiocese of New Orleans released last week about some 49 Afghan refugees will be coming.
Yes, David Aguilar, head of the Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge, is helping oversee this project, and 49 Afghan refugee families refugees will be coming, about a dozen families overall when you include the kids and the parents. And it's a great effort. And overall, they'll be accepting 59 Afghan refugees when you combine New Orleans with Baton Rouge, doing their part to help out these people who fled a country that is in turmoil, to say the least. And so if you want to help them out as well, you can contact Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge or New Orleans. And if you want to make a donation of some type to get them settled and to get their lives back in order, feel free to do so. Call Catholic Charities in your diocese.
Yes, definitely. CatholicCharitiesBR.org is a website for Baton Rouge, and CCANO is the website for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. We have Richard Meek with the Catholic Commentator coming up right after the break, along with your Saint of the Day. It is 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 21st. Today, we celebrate Saint Matthew. What an unlikely character Matthew was to be called by Jesus. A Jew who collected taxes from his fellow Jews on behalf of the occupying Roman forces, Matthew would probably have been roundly disliked, if not hated. It would not be surprising, then, if people were shocked to hear Jesus call such a man to be one of his intimate followers. But that is precisely what Jesus did. We read in both Mark's and Luke's gospel that Jesus saw a local tax collector, we believe this to be Matthew, and uttered the life-altering invitation, "Follow me." Tradition also recognizes Matthew as one of the four evangelists. In telling the story of Jesus, the first gospel focuses on the demands of Christian discipleship, but also assures his readers that the risen Jesus remains with the church following his death and resurrection. We can take heart that from such an unlikely situation, Jesus chose one of the foundations of the church. He chose a man whom many thought not holy enough to be a close associate of the Messiah. But Matthew was one of the sinners Jesus came to call, just as he calls all of us. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in on this beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Saint Matthew, he's one of my favorites. If you guys, I know that a lot of you guys watch The Chosen, but he is my favorite one. I love Saint Matthew. Yeah. So, and you can tell that he's not really well liked. And it's portrayed very well over in The Chosen. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then go download The Chosen app and start watching this TV show. It is so good.
And in the show itself, Jesus definitely takes him under his wing.
Absolutely.
In a number of ways. So
Yes, and gives him, he gives him an important role, too.
Yes.
Makes him feel really special because he is. And I just love St. Matthew.
Yeah, and I think that's as Christ's way of doing that with others, even in today's world, right? He gives us certain graces. We may think somebody's not too worthy or should be part of our group, and the next thing you know, they do something, and it's like, wow, this guy or gal is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, absolutely. And I was at, real quick before we get to our next guest, I know, Richard Meek, you're waiting on the line, but I saw someone with a Chosen t-shirt at the grocery store, and I had to point it out to them. They got very excited. So it's nice to see that other people watch it too. I always think I'm the only one, but I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Richard's been chosen to do a good endeavor as well, right, Richard?
I've been chosen. I'm not sure about never mind. Anyway, so looking forward to the cooler weather.
Yes, we are. We were talking about it earlier. Richard Meek is the editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and he joins us this morning. And Richard, I want to start off with some more diocesan updates with Ida Relief. So tell us about those.
Yeah, and I think the previous issue, we talked about a lot of the damage that was around the diocese, and that's still there, and we have a little bit more about that. But this is a story, and it's so typical, and we talk about this frequently, how the Diocese of Baton Rouge just has a huge, collectively has this big heart to reach out and help people and have a reputation for it. So we have several different stories about how the diocese has reached out, for example, the St. Joe French Settlement, they served over 25,000 meals. St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland, and Albany, they became sort of an epicenter as a distribution site, served over 11,000 meals, but also a lot of distribution of tops and clothing, and, you know, so many needs. But the point is, they were there, but those churches also received help from St. John in Prairieville, from Holy Rosary, from Holy Ghost. You know, it's just amazing to me driving around and talking to people, the response from the diocese, how people, and a lot of these people are hurting themselves, but they were still going to volunteer. We had even people go down to volunteer in Laplace, throughout the community. And it speaks volumes about the heart of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And we've been talking about how to help out with Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge as well. But Richard, tell us about St. Peter Chanel School in Paulina. How did they do after the storm?
They didn't fare as well as others, but they did take a hit. They had some roof damage, and they had some water get in. And the head point is reminiscent of, say, 2016 and 2005. You walk in and you see a lot of mold, you know, up on the ceiling. You see the blowers in there getting water out, drying out the floors. So they're really making a good recovery. Paula Posh, associate principal down there, she does a great job anyway, and she certainly swung into action immediately. She was there the day after. So it looks like, you know, keep your fingers crossed, but it looks like September 27th, they'll be able to reopen the school. They just have some, you know, some work ahead of them. They're going to get there, and of course, the community is helping out too. But it was eerily reminiscent of a couple of other big events in the last 15 years, shall we say?
Wow. Well, September 27th, that's coming up. So we're praying that the kids can go back to school on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Yes. That'll definitely be a day to celebrate. And also another celebration is Holy Family Church in Port Allen. They're celebrating something quite special. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they had a mass recently, and they celebrated the centennial. And it was really just a great event. I didn't realize we gave history of the church. And the church sort of bounced around a little bit between other churches, you know, a mission here or a chapel to this church. And then it finally solidified later on. But it's really, the history is really interesting. It's interesting itself. And Pastor Ron Hallford, no surprise here, he just gave a great homily because that's what he does. And he was talking about how God invites the current generation through prayer and sacrifice to participate in each other's salvation. And one thing he talked about, I love this, when he's talking about as a parish, as a community, to have an opportunity to be a beacon of hope and life to the community. And I think that speaks to each individual. And it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a little bit of a challenge to each individual to live your life, to be a beacon of hope, be a beacon of light to others. And I think that parish is really founded upon that. So, and they had a great pastor, David Allen, for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he recently retired. I mean, he was the best, right? I mean, so, yeah, but certainly with Father Ryan, they're going to continue that legacy.
Wow. Well, Richard, we are saddened to hear the news of Father Jack Nutter's passing. Tell us about his funeral.
Yes, you know, he was just a great guy. I mean, anyone knew him, you know, you just fell in love with the guy as soon as he opened his mouth and talked to you. It was really a celebration of his life. It was, and three bishops were there, so that's great. Bishop Duke, Bishop Munch, and Bishop Fobb. Bishop Fobb and Father Nutter were actually ordained together. Father Jerry Martin from passed in Prairieville. His homily was the best I've ever heard at a funeral.
Wow.
It was incredible. There's so many Jack Nutter stories you could tell, and he told a few. And he had people on a journey from laughter to tears. But it really capitalized Father Jack's life. And he's going to be sorely missed. Way too young. He was taken, you know, he's 71 years old. Battled dementia the last 4 years of his life. Taken from us way too young. But certainly, I think he's one of those guys that left an impression on anybody he ever met. And like Father Martin said, he never met a stranger, never met anybody he didn't like. Mm-hmm. He always made you feel welcome.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. Oh, I like this next story about the world's smallest church. Tell us about this one.
Oh, man, if you haven't gone there, this is amazing. It's down on the West Bank in Bayou Goula, near Prairieville, that area. It's a 9x9 church. An Italian farmer promised the Blessed Virgin that he would build her a chapel if his son was really ill, if she would save his son. The son recovered, so he built this little chapel, and they have a celebration. They have one mass a year, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, on August 15th. They go out, and people, it's outdoor mass. It's open. You walk up to it. There's a key to the right-hand side, and you just go in. It's so peaceful. Oh, my God, this was so much fun. just being there, you got to see this church. I mean, it you know, I guarantee you, people have bigger closets, and it's amazing when you look inside of it, and the way it's, you know, Statue of the Blessed Virgin came from Italy, and this is a tradition in Sicily, in Italy, people build chapels in honor of the Blessed Virgin, not so much in the United States, but this is what this fellow did. Oh, man, it's awesome. It's just one of those things you pull up to the side of the road, and it's just a great treasure of the diocese.
And can you go at any time? And you said it's around the Prairieville area?
No.
Yes, it's on River Road.
Oh, yeah. How do you get there? What's an easy way to get there?
Just go through Prairieville. Plaquemine.
Yeah, by
Yagula. And go on River Road.
Okay.
And you'll see it on the report. Don't blink your eyes, though, because you're going to miss it. But it's not too, I can tell you, if you're going down that way, like from Baton Rouge going that way, if you see Nottoway Plantation, you've gone too far.
Okay.
And you turn around and come back. You know, I tell you, everyone owes it to themselves to go there. It's fabulous.
Oh, I love little churches like that. That's wonderful.
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, I can't wait to take a look at these stories. Richard Meek, editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Richard, where can we read more stories?
Well, it just goes to news.diobr.org. That's our website. Of course, you can pick up the paper in the back of churches. We have more than 100 retail outlets throughout the diocese.
All right,
and
wonderful.
And the subscription is $14 a year, too, so...
Oh, yes. We got our Catholic Commentator when I was a kid in the mailbox. I remember mm-hmm. going to get it. So love the Catholic Commentator. Right. Richard, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Lots of wonderful stories in this issue, Damian. I'm so excited to take a look.
And you know, sometimes people just neglect picking up the Catholic Commentator, and they're really missing out on what I think is a treasure for our diocese. It's full of information. You just touched on a few of the topics that are in the paper.
Yeah.
But it's a great publication. Richard does a great job, he and his staff. And I recommend, when you're walking out of church, pick one up. Don't just pass it by. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. It is 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. The U.S. Supreme Court has set December 1st as the date for Dobbs v. Jackson to be heard. Mississippi wants elected legislators to assess questions like the viability of a child and to be free of the archaic constraints imposed by Roe v. Wade that failed to stand up to modern science. A San Antonio abortionist is bragging about breaking the new Texas heartbeat abortion ban. Alan Braid was hoping to be sued, but Operation Rescue is asking the Texas Medical Board to discipline the doctor after killing a child protected by duly enacted law. In related news, the White House is giving Texas abortion businesses $10 million to fight the heartbeat abortion ban. And computer giant Apple is offering to pay travel expenses for employees from Texas who want abortion. This is Life News Radio.
The view, the accurate view of the human person, changes everything. The news you hear and see pertaining to the human person has the power to inform or misinform your opinions and what you do with the gift of life and what you allow your government to do. It's why we at this station offer news on the life issue. We hope you carefully assess what you hear, read, and view.
In other headlines, Planned Parenthood is being accused of violating sanitation laws in Ohio. The Biden White House is firing advisory council members, purging the Capitol of pro-life voices, and Father Frank Pavone calls Nancy Pelosi's latest abortion bill the all-abortion, all-the-time bill. She wants all restrictions on abortion banished. No parental consent, no state medical conscience protection, no patient consent after ultrasound, and no restrictions on pain for the children. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. 7:35 Tuesday morning here on Wake Up. So glad you could join us. Damian Colato along with Gabby Smith. And with us at this time is Steve Weidenkopf. He is an adjunct professor at the Christendom College Graduate School of Theology in Alexandria, Virginia. He is also the author of a number of books on the Catholic Church, including The Church in the Middle Ages, Timeless, A History of the Catholic Church, The Glory of the Crusades, and what I believe is his current book, Nine Times the Church Was in Turmoil and Came Out Stronger Than Before, which is what we'll be talking about this morning with Steve. Steve, welcome to Wake Up.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Damon. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Look, as a true historian of the Catholic Church, and you've written a number of books on the topic, I'm glad to see this book come out because I'm in a men's prayer group, and I talk to a lot of folks, and we feel like this might be the first time the church has ever experienced turmoil in today's day and age, but really it isn't. And your book is very timely in regards to that. Share with us why you wrote this book at this time.
Yeah, sure. You know, it really stemmed from just, you know, my experience going around through the last several years, giving talks at parishes, conferences, and teaching as well, where, you know, people would ask me that question. They would say, you know, have we ever lived in a time as worse in church history as it is now? And that always surprised me, frankly, as someone who is steeped in church history, who teaches it, because my immediate response in my mind is, well, no. I mean, there was, you know, horrible times in the church's past, way significantly worse than what we're dealing with now with all the different crises and whatnot. But then I began to ask myself, well, I wonder why people think that, because I kept hearing it over and over again. So I'm like, why is it that is kind of the general thought? And I came away with kind of two answers to that question. The first one is kind of maybe a little bit easier or simple. It was, well, maybe people just don't know, right, church history. They don't realize that in centuries past, there were some significant periods of turmoil and crisis,
yeah.
Significantly mm-hmm. worse than obviously than what we're dealing with now. But then it led me into something even more. That answer led me to challenge that a little bit and ask, you know, well, what further is driving this? And I think that it's really kind of a focus of our modern world, right? Our modern world is so focuses on the immediate, right? The, mm-hmm. the right, what's right in front of us, our own day and age, and we're so wrapped up in responding to and dealing with things that are happening right now. And we have, because part of it is, you know, we have social media, we have some great technology and ability to you know, opine on things that are occurring in the immediate in our immediacy. But we don't take a step back and think of perspective, right? We don't think from perspective. And so I think what many people lack is historical perspective. And I think having that gives us lessens our anxiety and gives us a greater sense of hope. And so that's really the reason why I wrote the book.
Yeah, you're right on with that, because so many people want to abolish history today, especially, they don't even want to talk about slavery in schools as an example. But if we don't know about our history, then how are we going to learn from it?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's really crucial, I find, that, and once, you know, my experience has been, again, giving talks at parishes and conferences and teaching, is that once people have that knowledge of our history, it really does deepen one's faith, right? I mean, this is my favorite thing to say when I give talks, is that, you know, hopefully studying church history deepens your love for the Holy Spirit and deepens your devotion for the Holy Spirit, because without the Spirit, without Christ sending the Spirit to guard, guide, and animate the church through these last 2,000 years, you know, there probably wouldn't be a church here today, frankly. If it was just left up to our own human frailty and falling, if the church really wasn't, divine institution, you know, girded by the Spirit, then it would be, you know, something we'd be studying as not a living, active organization in the world today, but something that was alive or was present back in centuries past.
Right. And so how does the church become stronger? Is it because of the Holy Spirit? Is it the lay people, the priests that kind of rise up and speak out for their church parishes? What got them through the turmoil and became stronger in the process?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's what I hope to, you know, bring out in the book, is that I take 9 different times in the church's past over the last 2,000 years where there's been significant crises or turmoil. But what I don't end the story there, right? The point of the book is not to say, oh, well, you know, things were worse than in the past. So, you know, in the modern age, we just kind of have to suck it up and deal, right? And realize that it's not as bad as it was, which is not the point, right? That's only half the story. The rest of the story, really, and the thesis of the book is that it's from those times of darkness that light has come, right? So it's God brings good from evil, or can bring good from evil situations. And these 9 times that I look at in the book illustrate that it's not just because, or it's actually because of these times of crisis that there was a period of reform and renewal and restoration. And so I illustrate, you know, your question was, how does that happen? Well, mm-hmm. for each individual crisis, it's been different. But one thing that is kind of consistent and clear throughout the centuries of the church's history is that, you know, reform and renewal begins on an individual basis first. And so what I mean by that is whether it's a layperson or a cleric, a bishop, or a pope, or whoever, it doesn't matter. But the pattern has always been individual reform, like an individual Christian realizing that there's problems in the church or problems in the world. But instead of first addressing those problems, it begins, you know, the person looks to themselves first and roots themselves in Christ, has an active prayer life, a sacramental life, and then it's after kind of making your own house in order or getting your own house in order, then they take the reform to the larger stage and the larger community. And I think that's very, very relevant for our own day and age.
Yeah, and you do it in a story fashion, not just printing facts and dates like one would get going to history class.
Yeah,
no offense, but I mean,
yeah.
I would love to go to one of your classes, as a matter of fact. I'm sure it would be a lot more entertaining than some of the books I've read in the past, but go ahead,
I
elaborate
so.
On that.
Yeah, no, I hope so. No, I'm what you call a narrative historian. So I'm someone who actually believes that history should be taught as story, right, as narrative. And it's interesting, you know, because something that I feel very strongly about. And history in years past, in centuries past, actually was seen as a form of literature. It's only recently, from the 19th century on, that history kind of became a science. And there's certain aspects of that which are very important, like, you know, critical studying of manuscripts and other kinds of textual criticism and things which are important in the science of history. But I think sometimes modern day historians have focused too much on the science of history and have lost the ability to teach history and tell history as a story, because ultimately that's what it is. I mean, history is the story of, you know, it's the story of, it's a drama. There's heroes, there's villains. There's, you know, crucial events that happen, you know, to nations, to groups of people, to individuals. These are all very important things that should be taught and told as they are, as a sense of drama, as a sense of story. So at least that's how I try to present history to others.
You do. You do a great job. Steve Weidenkopf's book, Light from Darkness, 9 Times the Church Was in Turmoil and Came Out Stronger Than Before. Who knows, maybe next year it'll go to 10 if we can reform what we're experiencing in today's world. Steve, where can they get your book?
Sure. The book is published by Catholic Answers Press. You can get it on their website at shop.catholic.com. Or you can probably find it at any local Catholic bookstore near you.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us this morning here on Wake Up.
Yeah, thanks so much, Damon. Have a great day.
You too. God bless.
Wow. I love how you said, tell history like a story. I had a professor in college who did just that. An hour and a half of history class, you have to tell it like a story to keep the attention of your students, and it was magnificent.
Isn't it? Wonderful. It's so true. And it's like family history when you think about the church. You know, when you learn about your family, you hear stories from grandpa, mom, dad, aunts, uncles. Same thing with church history, and Steve does a great job with it. If you want to learn about the fact that our church, you think we're going through a tough time right now, as they say, you ain't seen nothing yet, because what we experienced in the past was tough, from the Crusades to, you name
schisms,
it. You
know,
yeah.
Reformation, yeah.
Exactly, so... It is time for us to move on. 7:45 on Wake Up. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with a lot more.
It is 7:48 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm so excited to welcome our next guest, Dr. Lisa Sorensi. She's the Program Director for Catholic Solutions with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today we are talking about ways to take care of our mental health during the trauma and after the trauma of Hurricane Ida. So Dr. Sorensi is going to give us some resources for that. Good morning, Dr. Lisa.
Good morning, Gabby. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. It's so good to have you with us today. Let's get right down to it. What's the first thing that you counsel patients to do in crisis situations such as major storms like Hurricane Ida?
I think, you know, thinking back over the last few weeks and just realizing, you know, we have a lot of adult responsibilities as just as human beings, and taking care of yourself is the first responsibility we should have. It may be easy to hold back those emotions and not worry about yourself and put your family or your community first. But at some point, those emotions, you're not going to be able to hold in any longer, and you don't want them to come out at the wrong time. So definitely making sure that you're taking time to process everything that's happening with you. You know, if you're head of a household or something like that, you know, talk to someone. It doesn't have to be a professional all the time. It can be someone, you know, a friend in your community, at your church, anyone, just making sure you're taking care of yourself. I think for, you know, Hurricane Ida, I myself was a younger adult during Katrina, so I didn't have as many responsibilities. So now thinking about all of the, you know, young adolescents or adults that were younger adults that were during Katrina are now adult, like responsible adults, taking care of children and parents during Ida. So they may be experiencing some triggers just from any direction, such as seeing a blue tarp on a roof or just smelling the garbage and debris pile up, maybe not having groceries or power or limited access to those resources could always be a trigger as well for them.
Yeah, and I think it's so important that we talk about this as well. How is Counseling Solutions at Catholic Charities helping people during recovery at this time? There are so many resources out there. We've been talking about it in our listening area, from Baton Rouge, Tahoma, Biloxi, New Orleans, those dioceses. So what is Catholic Charities doing with Counseling Solutions?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I am helping, you know, answer phone calls from so many people just kind of feeling overwhelmed. Just even if they're not interested in counseling, I still try to give them some tips or educate them about what mental health may look like, you know, following a trauma such as this hurricane. You know, there could be many different things that could be going on. Some people could be experiencing PTSD. Some may have anxiety, sudden mood changes. You know, you just never know what's going on with them. And I think that for us, we just never know what our kind of breaking point can be. We may never have thought that we would be that less now, and that could have been our tipping point for us. So I think for anyone experiencing mental health challenges for themselves, or who may be concerned about their children or a spouse, any kind of family member or a friend, we encourage them to seek professional help if they have, you know, extenuating concerns for them. And, you know, I think as for mental health professionals too, it's okay to reach out as well. I think that we're in this together and we're going through it with our clients. So it only makes sense for us to seek out professional help as well if we're experiencing some of those same symptoms as our clients.
Yes, absolutely. Is it counseling free? Can they call at any time? I know that when it comes to counseling and seeing a therapist, the cost is the issue as well.
Yeah, well, I will say, you know, part of our Counseling Solutions program is grant funded. So we do have a percentage of money that does go to pro bono clients. We do accept most private insurances, and we do accept Medicaid. So all they would have to do is just call our 985-785-2113 number and just let us know what's going on with them, and we'll get them set up with a counselor or a counselor intern.
Let's talk about our children as well, who are also going through this. We can't forget that they are also human beings who are wondering what's happening. You have a wonderful resource from LSU Health Science Center on a coloring book to help children navigate on what's going on.
Absolutely. It's called When the Lights Went Out, A Story About Hurricane Ida. I've actually attended many of their workshops that they do each spring and fall for registered play therapists, which I'm also a registered play therapist. And I think when they sent this out, and then I knew I was doing the show this morning, I knew it had to be a resource that we had to get out to parents. You know, it's just something that helps tell it in a realistic way for kids maybe to understand it. It does have pictures with it that was also illustrated by, I guess, some of the faculty or students at the LSU Health Sciences Center. And I think that they put out great resources all the time. And so this one was just something that I knew you know, parents or teachers, you know, it doesn't always have to be a counselor or a counselor, can just share with these children. And it does give great tips on mindfulness and different activities to actually help the kids understand it a little bit better as well. And I think, you know, for kids right now, and especially if you're at home with them as parents, it can be a little bit challenging if you don't have those electronic devices to kind of help you keep them focused on things. So I think just getting them active and just creating outside the box things, you know, if you have yard cleanup, well, let them help you do that. I think it's okay for them to get outside and, you know, get in the yard. They may not do as much as we as adults can, but it's still something that they can do, and they're doing it with, you know, their parents or whoever their caretakers are. And I think it's just easy to, you know, easy to kind of say the kids are resilient, but we need to still pay attention to them and see what they're doing, because they're going to model our behaviors. And if we're worrying or, you know, constantly thinking about what's coming next or where we're going to get food from, then I think that, you know, is concerns that they're going to also start doing, and they're not old enough to sometimes conceptualize what's really going on. So I think this book is a great resource for them to help out with that.
Yes, that's one thing I told my husband. We have always lived down south. My husband's from up north and on the coast of North Carolina. My mom was always calm during storms, and so was my dad. Maybe not in front of us, but behind closed doors, but in front of us, she was calm. Who knows what she was probably freaking out in the bathroom or somewhere else where we didn't see her. But But I remember that. And so in turn, I want to model that for my child as well when it comes to storms like these. Of course, when the lights are flickering and stuff like that, it's hard to not control yourself. But I think that's such a great reminder. So mm-hmm. that resource is so important. So I actually posted the link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. That's lsuhsc.edu. So take a look at that as well. Dr. Lisa Sorensi, Program Director for Counseling Solutions with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Where can we go to find out more information, maybe schedule an in-person appointment, and take a look at telehealth options?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can always go to our website, www.ccano.org/counseling-solutions, or they can always call 985-785-2113. I think calling the number is always a better way to getting someone quicker on the phone. So again, the number is 985-785-2113.
Yes, and just remember to keep in mind that we are human and these resources are wonderful for us to have and to be available to. So Dr. Lisa Sorensi, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to the next time.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
Absolutely. All right, Damian, wow. Great stuff. Great resources today.
Good information, you bet. Okay, and we're going to wrap up with our prayer to St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, creator of all things, you have entrusted to women and men the responsibility over all your creation. Grant, we beseech you, that by the example and protection of good and faithful St. Joseph, we may perform the work you expect of us and attain to the reward that you promise. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Joseph, amen. Pray for us and protect us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.